So I was back, I was breathing again. And I thought, well, it wasn't so much fun going to see what was on the other side anymore. It scared me, but I just sort of thought about it, didn't know what to think. I finished the rest of the stash I had within a couple of days and got real sick after that. And I couldn't get the mother to get the doctor to hustle him to get me any more stuff. He wouldn't give it to her, and I had to go cold turkey. I remember turning like blue and cold and all that. But the horror was having to try to sleep again or when the night would come, because I knew that the nightmares and or the horror, the voices and the thoughts would come. I didn't want the night to come, and I didn't want to lay down because the thoughts of killing them again would come. But night came, night would come, and the thoughts would come back. And then in days I'd find myself down in the woods trying not to dig the grave, but digging it anyway. And I'd throw the shovel down and walk away and say, I'm not going to do this. But then I would say, I am going to do this, or something to say. Well, this battle in my mind went on for I don't know how long, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few days, but it got so intense that the night that it was like if I would say to myself, it was like if I would convince myself, I was like trying to convince myself, and if I committed myself to it and said, okay, I will, then I knew that I would do it. But the plot widened, and it wasn't just kill the father and take the car, because I would think, well, I can't tell, he's too big, but
the voices.
And I remember him coming through the door, and I'd be sitting on the couch in the little trailer. And I look at his back. I could see like his heart, where his heart would beat in between his shoulder blades.
Say, take it there. Stick it there. It'll come out his heart.
And I would sit there and say no, and then he would be either fighting with the mother or my mother, and he'd be drunk. It wouldn't be no, I was sitting there contemplating murder. Killing him. And that. Then a thought would come,
your mother, she's no good either. She's the one that made you like this. Your brother, your sister, kill them all.
So it would be like, how? How would I kill him?
It would cut out his heart.
Oh, so how am I going to kill him?
You can do it.
I can't do it.
Oh, yes, you can do it. Kill him all in one night.
Your brother, he's the one that keeps you awake at night. Your sister. She's the one who's always making you get in trouble.
But it got so bad that I was sitting on the edge of my bed or walking down the street with it. At first it was just in my mind, but then I was having a conversation, talking out loud to myself as I walking in the woods or wherever I was. I was having a two-way conversation with myself, talking to myself. But the thing was, it was always like the other one that was talking back wasn't me. That's what kept me in the insane condition, though I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or not. And it's awful sad if you see somebody walking down the street, shaking their head and banging herself on the head and talking to herself. You see them in mental hospitals if you've ever been there, but you don't see many walking on the street. It was that bad. And I remember the last few nights, I was in the bed, and I woke up, well, I didn't wake up because I wasn't sleeping, but I sat on the side of the bed in a cold sweat. Like, this was going to be the night. These things wouldn't leave me alone. I remember my neck always aching because my neck was always bent. It was like burdened, and I couldn't stand up straight because, like, I was carrying this big load on my back, and I was always bent over, and my head was bent, but my neck always ached. I used to remember always reaching back and hitting myself in like a judo chop in the back of the neck to try to take the pain away. But it was something that was the burden of this, it was a demon sitting on my shoulders, and that kept my head bent like that, or sitting on my head, that kept me bent over like that. So the last night, on a bed, this is the night I'm going to do it, is about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Take the knife, the one that's in with the bread knife, so I think butcher knife, take that. Bed and get right to the heart. Cut the heart out. Put it in the oven. And spread the blood on the walls. Yeah, put the blood on the walls.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will. Put the blood on the walls.
I write the names. Then I'll cook the heart. And I'll eat part of it and I'll leave it in the plate. So when the cops come and I'll dismember the bodies and they can see them, and they'll see the blood on the walls.
You drive the car, make a station wagon, and I'll show you how to drive it. You drive it to New York, you'll be like Al Capone.
Remember that name, Big Gangster, saw it on TV. And like the devil said to Jesus, fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. I had like a flash of going to New York and being a big gangster, like in the movies. It was like something you would see an Al Capone movie. You'd be a big gangster. And now sitting on the side of the bed and with this going through me, take the knife and do it now. And in a cold sweat, almost standing up to get the knife, but I couldn't bring myself quite to do it. And the sweat running down, and I felt like ice cold. And up through the floor, right in front of me, came a little man. I didn't know what it was. It was a demon, but I didn't know it. Looked like something like a midget, but he was all like in proportion. And he was miry, reddish gray, and his head, where his skull was, it looked like those things you see in some of those books, like a brain. Like he didn't, like, the top of his head looked like a brain, and it was like pulsing. And he had his bony hands like those pictures you see of a witch, and on his elbows it was heavy skin on his elbows and like hair, and on his knees were like that too, where his knees was like heavy callous skin with like hair, little bits of hair, and his fingers were bony. And I'm looking at this thing, and his eyes were like beady narrow and like real dark, like bright dark. And I'm looking at this thing and trying to figure, didn't know what it was, and I'm trying to look away from it because I knew it was evil, and I was trying to look away from it.
No, look at me.
And as I looked at me, and I
concentrate on me.
And I tried to look away, and I pulled my head, and it was
no.
And I looked back at it, and I looked back at it, look at it, concentrate. And I looked at it, and I saw its lips. This was all like telepathy going on at first, but as I looked at it and stared at it, which I didn't want to do, its lips started to move. And like, concentrate, look at me, and his lips, and like, see what I'm saying? And I tried to look away from the lips because it was fascinating. As evil as it was fascinating in its own way. And I tried to look away from the lips, and as I was doing it, this was happening, it was coming across the floor, it rose up. I was in a trailer in the hallway. It was only a couple feet away from me when it came up through the floor. Mind you, there's five people in this 18-foot trailer. This is going on, and they're all sound asleep, and I'm sitting there inside the bed. And it's coming closer, and I tried to look away, and I thought, oh, God. And when I thought, oh, God, when I looked away, I thought, oh, God, and when I looked back at him, it put up his hands. It was shaking in fear. The Bible says, you believe in God, you do well. The devil believes and he trembles. And this thing was trembling, and it like put up his hands.
No, I'm God.
That's the thought that came to me. That's like his lips moved. The thought, no, I'm God.
No, I'm God. Look at me.
And in my struggle to look away again, I thought there's something that goes with God that I heard people say, but I didn't know what it was. Trying to think, what's that thing that goes with God that people say? And I never heard anything. I heard my mother used to say, or my father used to say in a vain way, Jesus Christ. But they used to do it like they were swearing at each other, cursing each other. And they used to say, God damn, or God damn it, which means condemn. And I thought, I used to, by the grace of God, that name that's above every name, what is that name that goes when people say with God? And I thought, Jesus. And I thought, I was looking away, and I thought, Jesus. And I turned to look at this, I turned my head back to look at it. It was right in front of me. It was like crouched, like it was going to pounce on me. It wanted to either reach in, like wanted to reach in and grab my heart, or reach in me and possess me, or grab my heart. It wanted me. But by the grace of God, when I looked, it was right there, and I said, Jesus. I was going to point at it, because I was going to say, Jesus is, and you're the devil. I didn't even get it out of my mouth. I looked to say, Jesus. It put up his hands, and like a flash to him, like somebody punched him, it went right over backwards in a tumble salt, hit the floor, and he tried to get up, and I thought, I got him now. Now, before I could get the word all out of my mouth, Jesus is, it's flattened him right out through the floor. He tried to get up, he couldn't get up, and it flattened him right through the floor, like a light came and flat pushed him through the floor, and he disappeared. I was sitting there in a well, the cold sweat left. I'm looking at the spot where he just got pushed to the floor, and I realized the whole room was full of light.